Hi, welcome back, and thanks for joining us here today. I'm Jamie, and I am a blues disciple. Now, please join me for a little while to hear some excellent blues music from one of the masters of the blues. Blues Disciples is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and please note that earphones or earbuds will definitely enhance your listening pleasure. As you listen on our website, you can click on the playlist to expand its size for easier reading and viewing the artist. Today we'll pay tribute to my good friend and blues harp legend Paul Osher as we approach the third anniversary of his passing on August 18, 2021 of COVID at the age of 74. Paul's path in the blues makes a pretty interesting story. He was born in New York in 1947 and started playing harmonica around the age of 12 on the streets of his hometown, Brooklyn, after his uncle gave him a Marine Band harmonica that set Paul on his lifelong blues harp journey. In 1967, when he was still a teen, Paul joined blues legend Muddy Waters' band as the first white musician to become a member of a major blues band. That's quite a feat at any age, but still a teen? Wow. Paul moved into Muddy's basement and lived and performed with Muddy until 1972. In addition to his being a blues harp legend, Paul learned to play guitar directly from Muddy Waters and learned to play piano from blues legend and piano master Otis Spann, who also shared his basement apartment in Muddy's home with Paul for a couple of years. I met Paul in the early 2000s and was fortunate to strike up a friendship with him. We spoke and got together whenever he was in the New York area, and now, from several hours of interviews we did together, we have shared excerpts from some of our conversations on previous podcasts. For this tribute, I pulled together some excerpts so that you may learn a little more about Paul, his great talent, personality, and character. We'll start with Paul telling us about his learning and developing his blues harp style on the streets of Brooklyn.
When I did get the real harmonica, it was I had an uncle named Sammy, Uncle Sammy, and he gave me a Marine Band harmonica, you know, in the box. You know, I was about 12 years old, and, you know, I'd go by this grocery store and wait for people to call, or like an elderly person would come in and need help with the groceries. And so I delivered groceries, and they'd give you like a quarter or 15 cents a dime. But at that time, if you got a quarter tip, that was a very good tip, because that was, you could buy a slice of pizza and a Coke for a quarter at that time. So anyway, I was hanging around waiting for a delivery, and I was practicing the harmonica from the pamphlet that came with it. And I was playing She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain, or whatever the song was I was trying to play. And there was a black guy that was working there, too. He was 28 years old, and he's dark-skinned and had gold tooth and processed hairdo. And he said, "Hey, kid, let me see that whistle you got, you know." So I handed him the harp. First, he made like he couldn't play at all, you know. Right. Just like looking at it, like, "Huh, what can I do with this?" You know, and he took the harp and he went, "Whoa." He hit a note, man, that I never heard anything that sounded so beautiful and so big in tone. You know, I couldn't understand how this little instrument could make something that loud and beautiful. So anyway, so he showed me different pointers, who to listen to. You know, this guy could sing like Junior Parker.
Wow.
He was really something, you know. And he pointed me towards Little Walter and Sonny Boy and Junior Parker, Jimmy Reed, you know, all those cats. So about 3 years later, I thought I was really pretty good then, you know.
Yeah.
And I was about 15, you know, and I'm walking down the street playing my harmonica, you know, blowing a harp. And I passed by this black club called the Nightcap. And there was a guy standing in the doorway. And his name was Smiling Pretty Eddie. And he was the MC on the show. And he said to me, "Hey, kid, where are you working at?" So I said, "I'm not working." You know, he said, "Well, why'd you come in here and play for the people?" And I looked in the club, and all the guys looked like Ike Turner, and all the women looked like the Supremes. And there was Cadillacs outside the place. And he says, "Come on into the club, play for the people." So he walked me in there. And he says, "Now, you just take that harp and put it on a mic and just blow it, you know." And there was a band there, a backup band, you know, and those guys were wearing like gold jackets, you know, all dressed alike. I did that, and man, I heard the first sound that came out. See, I didn't know that Little Walter was using an amplifier and stuff. I was trying to get that sound acoustically.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I heard the sound coming out of the speakers in the club, and it just blew my mind.
Paul didn't publish a lot of covers of Little Walter's music, but this song is one of Little Walter's most famous creations. This recording was made at the world-famous Rhythm Room Blues Club in Phoenix and produced by our friend Bob Corator. Here's Paul Osher with Little Walter's Juke.
Paul Osher, ladies and gentlemen.
Eddie said to the people, place was packed, and Eddie said, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the Little Blue-Eyed Soul Brother. And the place went nuts, man. They clapped, whistled, everything. I got off the bandstand, and I start walking towards the bathroom, and there was a shake dancer there. She must have been about 19 years old, a dark-skinned black girl with a long wig and long eyelashes, you know, phony eyelashes. And she's putting on her pasties on her breasts. You know, one of the breasts was bare, you know. And she looked up at me and she said, hi, baby. You know, like in a real sexy southern black tone, you know. And I said to myself, Dad, this is it. This is me. I love everything about this place. I'm like, I'm staying right in this, you know. And that was it. Stayed in the blues. I love the people, the music, everything.
That's great. And what was it, probably 2 years later, you were hooked up with Muddy Waters, right?
Yeah, that's right. Because Jimmy May, he was the band leader there at the nightcap. He knew the guys in Muddy's band.
Oh, wow.
And see, me and him would also go around, and he could sing like Little Walter. And we'd go around different clubs and stuff and sit in, and people would give us tips and stuff. You know, but he knew the guys at Muddy's band, so he took me up there to the Apollo. Muddy had a big show. What was a big show with Jimmy Reed, Muddy Waters, Lightnin' Hopkins, T-Bone Walker, and Bobby Bland, I think, and Johnny Hooker. Oh.
So it was a whole review.
Yeah, it was a whole review, right? Yeah, T-Bone is the one that stole the show, though. T-Bone came out there in a white suit. And he had that big band behind him, and he played a jump number, and then he played bop 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 doo 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 doo. They call it Stormy Monday, and he held up the guitar with one hand and played the lick. one-handed, and the whole Apollo Theater stood up. You had them right from there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It was great, you know? Anyway, we went and shot dice with the guys and with Muddy's dad. They were staying at the Teresa Hotel across the street, like, you know?
Yep.
And we hung out, and then Muddy heard me play, and, you know, and Luther Johnson, Snake Johnson, actually called him to hear me, you know, and he liked it, you know, and took my number. And then a couple years later, he come to play, but didn't have a hard player. So I got a call, and I came down there and sat in, and that was it. Played two numbers, and he said, "Can you travel?" I said, "Yeah, hell yeah." Yeah, so the next day I met him. The next day I met the band by the hotel, and he had a Volkswagen bus, green Volkswagen bus, you know, like what the hippies had in the 60s, you know, but he didn't have any flowers on and stuff. He just had like empty bottles and chicken legs and stuff inside the bus. You know, that way he traveled in two cars, a station wagon, and then the bus was Otis Spann and his girlfriend, Lucille, he called her his wife, and S.P. Leary, was a great blues drummer, and Andrew Bolden, we called him Bo, he was the driver. So I got in there, and I'm sitting right across from S.P., and Spann is sitting across from Marie. And he said, "I'm not Marie. Marie was Spann's first girl from Lucille." So he says to Lucille, give me my shit, baby. And she reaches in a bra and hands him a little .22 automatic. And he tries to put one in the chamber, you know, and then puts the gun in his pocket with like nothing protecting the trigger, you know. So, but that's the way he carried it, you know. You know, Lucille, he probably didn't have anything else in his pocket, but, you know, that's very dangerous to do that. Wasn't the best way to carry a gun. Anyway, so then he said, give me a taste, and S.P. Handed him a bottle of Gordon's gin. So he took a pint of Gordon's gin, and Spann took a big taste, and Lucille took a drink, and I took a drink, and S.P. took a drink, and we handed it up to Bo. And Bo took a long drink, and he said, "I see the moon and the moon sees me. Ah, God bless the moon and God bless me." And I said to myself, "Damn, I'm in it now. The real deal." That's right.
So from some great live performances by the Muddy Waters Band, starring Muddy with his great vocals and slide guitar, along with Paul Osher blowing his incredible blues harp, Sammy Lawhorn and Pee Wee Madison on their guitars, Calvin Fuzz Jones on bass, and Pine Top Perkins on piano, with Willie Big Eyes Smith on drums, we will play a few selections to give you a better understanding of the presence of the Muddy Waters Band at live performances in 1971 for Muddy's Live at Mr. Kelly's album. Here's Long Distance Call featuring Paul Osher on blues harp.
Said you love me, baby. Please call me on the phone sometime. You said you love me, baby. Please call me on the phone sometime. Making be gonna show you how nice a man can be. I'm gonna buy your brand new Cadillac. If you only speak some good words about me. Hear my phone ringing. Sound like a long distance call. Sound like a long distance call. I picked up my receiver. The pilot said another mule is kicking in your stall. People, I was down in my neighborhood one day. I was talking to some friends of mine, and they all were standing on the corner laughing at me. Serve another view. After a while, I went back home like a good man should. I put my hands in my pocket and got my key out and unlocked the door. And there stand my wife, she was crying. Serve another view. The little girl was jumping up in the floor, patting her hands together. She looking straight at me, and she was saying, and she was saying, and she was saying, and she was saying, Muddy Waters, another mule is kicking in your stall.
From that same album, here is You Don't Have to Go.
Thank you. I'm going to try to do one of Jimmy Reed's songs. I hope you'll like it. Thank you very much. Let's go like this. Thank you. to God. You know I'm gonna pack up, baby. Down the road I'll go. Oh, baby, what's getting wrong with you? And I'm gonna pack up, baby. Down the road I go. Get out of here. Yeah, I gave you all of my money, let you go downtown. You come back in the evening calling me all kind of clowns. Oh, baby, you don't have to go. And I'm gonna pack up, baby. Down the road I'll go. Oh, baby, turn your lamp down low. Oh, baby, turn your lamp down low. Yeah, and I'm gonna pack up, baby. Down the road I'll go.
My buddy and incredible blues harpist Bob Corritor and I spoke with Paul almost daily during Paul's last couple of weeks. And then following Paul's death, we asked a few of Paul's friends and blues artists to share a few of their thoughts about their friend Paul. Here's part of what Bob Corritor had to say.
Paul Osher was a friend of mine who I respected so much. He was the big inspiration for me when I first started playing, because I bought the album Live at Mr. Kelly's, and here was this white harmonica player, and I go, you know, in this rich, deep black heritage of the blues, they're allowing white people in to play this music, and here's a guy that's doing it with so much passion and so much skill. And so Paul was a hero of mine before I ever got to meet him. Years later, I got to meet him, and we immediately fell in. He was like a great friend from the start and a great friend up until the end. So, well, you know, we got to do a whole bunch of stuff together, hung out, we were at festivals. He was just kind. We even did some live recording, recorded his show over at the Rhythm Room, and went out to dinner many times, were at many special events, hanging out together. We just fell in whenever we were anywhere in close proximity. I got to go visit him at it when he was staying over in Venice Beach. And Paul was just one of those guys. He, when you were in with him, you were all the way in. He was your friend for life. And you know, I just love the guy. And on top of that, I've always touched by his amazing music. What a consummate performer, a great harmonica player, a great guitar player, a great piano player, great singer, a great concept guy. He just would get up on that stage and he would just rule. And he has all my respect. Here's a guy that opened the door for so many people. He basically broke the race barrier and made blues. Well, of course, Muddy Waters really did that by hiring him, but he was symbolic of being able to show that the blues as an art form could be embraced by all people, and his contributions were so great in that music. And he's going to be sorely missed. He was an example to all, example to me. I always told him he was my hero. I think he loved that about me, that I understood and respected what he had done. His harmonica playing always influenced me. There's licks and approaches that I've gotten directly from Paul Asher. I just can't say enough about the guy. He's my hero, and he's sorely missed. So God bless Paul Asher.
Here again from that Live at Mr. Kelly's album is a great Muddy Waters song, Country Boy.
Don't say I don't love you, baby, because I don't ever treat you right. You know I'm a country boy, and I just love to stay out every night. Don't say I don't love you, because I don't hold you in my arms. You know I'm just a country boy. Yeah, I know I always will treat you wrong. All country boys like that. Don't say I don't love you. ride. You know I'm a country boy. I just love to stay out. Hey, every night.
In addition to Bob Corritore, some of the other blues artists who shared their remarks about Paul for our 2021 tribute were Muddy's eldest son and blues man, Mud Morganfield, our queen of the blues and great blues singer, Miss Diana Greenleaf, Muddy Waters Band alum and master guitarist Bob Margolin, and West Coast blues harp master Rick Estrin. Now here's an excerpt from Rick's Memories with Paul.
Paul is, you knew him.
Yeah.
So you know he's hard to describe. You know, there's nobody like him, man. You know, he was absolutely unique, and he was always that way. And he had such a depth of feeling, you know.
Yeah.
And I know when I first saw him and met him, he had just joined Muddy's band. And so the band I saw, it was like Span and Snake and Pee Wee and Sammy Lawhorn.
Wow.
S.P. Leary. So it was a unbelievable band, man. And it made such an impression on me as a kid because I had the idea in mind. I was trying to play. I was starting to play, and I had this idea like I really wanted to play, and I wanted to play in a way that would feel like what I heard on, you know, on these records. You know, I wanted it to be more like that deeper stuff than some of the, you know, than what was popular in those little hippie ballrooms and stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so I was already, even as a teenager, I was already going in clubs, underage, stuff like that, and then just trying to soak in the thing. And then when I saw Paul, it's like, oh, here's somebody really doing what I had the idea to do. And then, you know, I couldn't play much then either. You know, I was trying to learn, but I couldn't play much. And when I heard Paul, the first night I saw him, I met him on the break, and we was real cool, man. We just hit it off. And he, at some point in our first conversation, he broke out of heart and just started playing something like the last verse of Juke.
Wow.
And I could just, right in my, when you hear that stuff, when you've only heard records really, and you hear it right, or performances, but when you hear that right in your face, it was a real eye opener for me, man. I knew, you know, I had a long way to go, you know. But I also could hear what was missing in my playing. You know, I could hear what was missing, and I knew I had something to shoot for, you know.
Yeah.
That was the initial influence he had on just my playing, was opening my eyes and see. But there was something beyond that in Paul, you know. There was, I don't want to get too weird, but, man, there was a spiritual aspect to what he did. He had such reverence for the blues, and it was really a presence for him, you know? And that really came through in his playing and in his, just in his feeling for the music. I mean, there's a guy, do you know Billy Flynn?
Sure.
Billy Flynn said something about Paul years ago. He said, the thing that he has, most guys trying to play don't even know it exists, you know. That's so true, man. There's, you know, it's just feel, man. It's a certain feel, and it's got a lot to do with the groove. There's just some intangible that he was able to convey that very rare, and especially in a white guy, it's very rare, man.
Oh, yeah.
But he had so much heart, man, and so much feeling for the music and for people, too, you know. I knew him when he was 17, and we'd been friends for 55 years, man. And he was just such a great guy. I mean, I could tell you, he was such a character too, man.
Yeah.
He was so, you know, he had all these little secret things, and he had this little conspiratorial thing. And I can remember him, you know, play three-card Monty. You know, he'd be hustling people all the time in the clubs, you know, or at gigs. And he, you know, he would be, I can remember that particular night, he had some kid from the, you know, these college kids used to go see blues and, you know, and he was this kid, you know, he had this kid where he had a deal where he would crimp one card.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you ever saw him do that, but he'd crimp one card and he'd act like he was doing it really slow where you could see exactly what was happening and you could not see what was happening. He'd crimp the one card, and then while he was doing this really slow, he would uncrimp that card and crimp another card invisibly. So he had this kid there, man, and the kid was, when he was done with him, the kid was like, I got you now. He goes, I know. If I had some more money, you'd be in trouble. it was great, man.
And our thanks to Mr. Rick Estrin. Now, here's Muddy Waters expressing his lifelong love of young women, and he's brilliantly accompanied by Paul Osher and the Muddy Waters Band with Muddy's She's 19 Years Old.
Thank you very much. I'm going to do one for some people from Ann Arbor, Michigan. I'm going to do 19 Years Old. And this is the thing, take a young girl to talk to me anyway, either. I reckon I'd stand to be around too much now with older women, I'm too old myself. But I'm so crazy about them younger. God, boy. I'm going to do this in A. I'm going to do it in A. I'm gonna say something to you, and I don't care how you feel. You just don't realize that you got yourself a good deal. She's 19 years old. She got weight just like a baby child. To make this young woman feel satisfied. Said it to you, I don't care if you get mad. You're about the prettiest little girl that I ever had. She's 19 years old. She got ways just like a baby child. Nothing I can do to please her. Make this young woman feel satisfied. What kind of woman did I got? going. Just tell me where you been. Just start a conversation. Just like a baby child. Nothing I can do to please her, but yeah. Whoa! Oh, yeah! Whoa, yeah! To make this young woman feel satisfied. Thank you very much.
Following Paul's departure from the Muddy Waters band in 1972, Paul went back to Brooklyn, where he struggled with his self-confidence and went through a period where he lost his ability to play harp. As his confidence and capabilities started coming back, he began performing as Brooklyn Slim and recorded with and hung out with his friend and early 20th century blues legend and movie star, Miss Victoria Spivey, who co-owned Spivey Record Productions in Brooklyn. Victoria Spivey was responsible for recording and publishing the first recording of the very young, unknown Bob Dylan. Hear now from a Spivey album titled New York Really Has the Blues, Volume 1, released in 1975, is Paul Osher singing and playing piano like one of his mentors, Otis Spann. And Paul was accompanied by Frank Padini on guitar, John Acerno on bass, and Miss Ola Dixon on drums with Paul's composition, Rhythm Rockin'. Next, we have a song Paul wrote and was recorded here for Paul's 1995 album, Knocking on the Devil's Door. Paul sings and plays his guitar while accompanied by his buddy Steve Geiger on blues harp, our friend Michael Mudcat Ward on bass, Boston's David Maxwell on piano, and fellow Muddy Waters bandmate Willie Big Eyes Smith on drums. The song is I'm Sorry, but first, Paul tells us what prompted his writing of this song.
I'll tell you, I wrote that song because I broke up with this girl. And when I took her to a new apartment, and she left out of my house, I went to kiss her. And she turned her cheek and she said, I'm sorry. And that same night, I wrote the song.
She stayed out all night long. She said, I'm sorry. And she stayed out all night long. She said, I'm sorry, baby. And she knew she was doing me wrong. She said, I'm sorry. And she stayed out all last night. She said, I'm sorry. She stayed out all last night. She said, I'm sorry, baby. And she knew she wasn't doing me right. Sorry, baby. And she knew she wasn't doing me right.
Next, Paul shows us more of his versatility with a recording from his 1999 album, Alone with the Blues. On it, Paul sings and plays a melodica, which is a handheld instrument that has a keyboard on the top and is played by blowing air through a mouthpiece on the side of the instrument. On this recording, noted pianist David Maxwell accompanies Paul. You may recognize the song as Amazing Grace. Paul just called it Giving Thanks. And at the end, the man, Muddy Waters himself, weighs in on Paul from an old late 1960s interview.
Is he from New York City?
Well, Muddy, they say that, you know, soul is where you find it now. Where did you find? You found him in New York?
I found him in the big city.
Yeah?
Because he was the type of kid, he was just been under the blues all of his life. Every record he got is a blues record. Mm-hmm. He just happened to be a soul man, you know. I don't care what color, as long as you got that soul that I feel, you know.
Now we'll play a song from Paul's 2010 Bet on the Blues album, and on it, Paul sings, plays blues harp, and plays his guitar while accompanied by Kid Anderson on bass and Willie Big Eyes Smith on drums. Biff Scarborough then provides backup vocals. This is a song written by blues legend Lightnin' Hopkins. Here's Jesus Won't You Come By Here. In 2011, our affiliate Blues Disciples Productions was fortunate to host Paul Osher for a solo performance in Manhattan at the Triad Off-Broadway Theater, and Paul was absolutely great. At this time, as we wind up our tribute, I'd like to play one of Paul's recordings from that August 11, 2011 evening. But first, Paul told our audience a short story about his first encounter with one of his heroes, blues harp legend Little Walter. And following that, Paul performs Little Walter's Mean Old World using his guitar and neck brace blues harp. Here now is that incredible performance by the Paul Osher One Man Band. Rest in peace, Brother Paul, and thank you all for listening.
He's the greatest harmonica player in the world. And I want to tell you about the first time I met Little Walter. I was walking down the street in Chicago with Luther Georgia Boy Snake Johnson, and Otis Spann, Little Walter, and Johnny Young were sitting in the car. Johnny Young's a great mandolin player, and Spann is like the greatest piano player in the blues. And Spann sees me and says, "Hey, Walter, this is Brother Paul. That's Muddy's new harp blower." So Walter looked at me kind of, you know. And then Spann says, "But don't play no cards with that boy, because he's bad with that three-card Molly." He meant three-card money, you know. I used to do that when I was a kid, you know. So next time I seen Little Walter, I was living in Muddy Waters' house. So next time I seen Little Walter, I'm coming up from the basement, and he's watching TV in Muddy's living room. And he sees me, he says, "Hey, kid, let me see that trick you got." So I used to carry my cards with me. So I take out the cards, and I move them around. You've seen the game. It's one black card, or there are two black cards and one red card. You move them around and say, who sees the red card, you know, and then you bet. So I said, where's the red card, man? He points at the card. I said, "How much you want to bet?" He said, "I'm going to put Jackson on that. That's $20. So I turn it up, and it's a black card. So I said, "Give me my money." So Walter goes, "Double or nothing." I say, "Okay." So I throw the cards again. I said, "Where's the red card?" He picks up all three cards with one hand, says, "Right here in my hand, motherfucker. I win, you lose, we even." That was Little Walter. Just an unlucky so-and-so. This ain't mean no word. Try living by yourself. This ain't mean no word. Try living by yourself. Can't get the one you loving. She's out loving someone else. Thank you. I know it's so lonesome, you know it's lonesome when you're sleeping all by yourself. The little gal that you love, man, she's out loving someone else and lonesome. Sleeping by yourself. Little gal that you're loving,